Do you get whiplash from all of the conflicting health and wellness information that's out there? It's like, eat this, don't eat that. This is good for you. No, wait, it's now actually bad for you. And then do you grab the bucket of popcorn watching the vegan and the carnivore communities attack each other? Wait, is popcorn good? Are we allowed to eat that these days? What if, play with me here, what if we can shift the conversation from blame and shame to knowledge and empowerment? If you want to get healthier, but you end up doing nothing because the information out there is so confusing, or you feel like it's being governed by the morality police, then keep listening because this episode is for you. Today, I'm going to answer the question, how can we move past the blame and the shame and look at wellness from an individualized approach so that you can understand what is actually good for you? The answer is powerful. It involves the most overlooked item at Pizza Hut, and I think it's going to surprise you. Do you wake up every day with a to-do list that gets results for everyone else, but taking care of yourself is not on the list? If you're burned out, stressed out, and ready for life to be easier, you're in the right place. Welcome to Gratitude Builds Fortitude, the podcast for successful women to create their comeback story for their health, lives, and careers. Picture an 80s movie-style montage where we optimize your mindset and mental resilience with a splash of gratitude. I'm Holly Burton. I'm your host and comeback coach, and it's time for your comeback story. So let's play and have fun. If I were to ask you, what does 1+1 equal? Well, your response would probably be 2, like, duh, Holly. And from a mathematical perspective, your answer is correct. 1+1 equals 2. If you have one pencil and you add another pencil, you now have 2 pencils. But play with me here. Let's say it's laundry day, which I'm actually doing laundry today, so kind of a great example. And let's say you do 1 load of laundry and then you pull it out of the dryer and then you dump it onto the bed. Shout out if you are a laundry bed dumper, you are my people. And then 45 minutes later, you have another load of laundry that you pull out of the dryer, and then you dump that on the same pile on the bed. Well, in this situation, one pile of laundry on top of another pile of laundry equals one pile of laundry. Or let's say you have a glass of water and then you pour it into another glass of water, and that other glass of water has enough, you know, space, so it's not overflowing. It actually has enough space to receive the other glass of water. So in this case, 1 glass of water + 1 glass of water = 1 glass of water. Okay, you get the idea. And credit where credit is due. This example is actually from Dr. Ellen Langer. And I heard her on an interview on the School of Greatness podcast with Lewis House. Love that podcast. Shout out. And the timing was perfect because I was actually creating the outline for this podcast. And I listened to her interview and I had all these thoughts in my head already. And I was like, oh my goodness, this is totally spot on and exactly what I've been thinking about and with a lot of the notes that I've been jotting down. So there must be something in the air. And I want you to hit me up on Instagram at holly.bertone if you're kind of in that same place, if any of this resonates that we talk about today. Because I think there's a lot going on in the industry right now that I really want to talk about that I think really needs to be called out and really needs to be addressed. And I think it's an important concept to expand our thinking around how we actually view health. Because I feel like we've been programmed to view our health from this place of polarity, when instead it should be viewed as a spectrum, or better yet, from an individualized approach and an individualized perspective. And it's how we view food, it's how we view exercise, how we view stress, how we view our healthy lifestyle in general. And I think we look to outside sources to tell us what to do. Just tell me what to do and I'm going to go do it. But then all of these sources are conflicting. And then it's almost like those sources become the morality of police. They tell us, do this, don't do that. And then it's conflicting, don't do this and do that. And then it's not just that we get confused, but whether we realize it or not, all of this conflicting information And the way that this conflicting information is given to us from some of these experts, it's from a place of blame or shame that if we aren't eating the thing we're supposed to eat or not eating the thing we're not supposed to eat or we're not exercising in a certain way we're supposed to be or whatever this expert or this influencer says. And there's so much conflicting information out there. And it's not just that it's confusing. It actually gives you whiplash. And that is exhausting. And my mission today is to help you make that shift of viewing this and viewing this perspective of health from a place of polarity, from that place of blame and shame, to a place of what is good for me, and more importantly, what is good for me right now. Are certain foods inherently good or bad? Well, if we view them as good or bad, it's almost like we give them morality. Or exercise, inherently good or bad, and we give that morality. And I know there's only so many words in the English language. It's not like, you know, we're going to hear something is good or bad and we're going to, you know, go to Word Hippo. I don't know. Word Hippo is my favorite thesaurus. Go to Word Hippo and, you know, oh, what is a synonym for good? What is a synonym for bad? What are different ways that we can describe this? No, we're just going to default to good or bad. But what happens is when we default to these words, and especially when we default to bad, it's like we're going to describe something because it makes it easy to describe. But what happens if we are unconsciously taking this label of good or bad to that next level? All right, let's take gluten, for example. Always a fun, controversial topic. If you're diagnosed with celiac or you have an autoimmune disease or gluten sensitivity, you probably consider gluten as quote unquote bad because gluten can be extremely detrimental to your health and cause some severe reactions to your body. But what if you don't fall into one of these categories? What if you're just, you know, normal person going out there, you know, eating your bread and your bagels and your pizza, not worrying? And you might say that it doesn't matter if I eat gluten because I don't have celiac or I don't have a gluten sensitivity and I don't have any kind of adverse reaction when I eat it. Well, the fact of the matter is that wheat is one of the most heavily sprayed crops with Roundup, which contains glyphosate, which is a known cancer-causing agent. Or let's talk about diet soda. It contains aspartame, which is a chemical that's also linked to cancer. But here's the thing. Food in and of themselves, food is not good or bad. Even the chemicals in and of themselves aren't good or bad. But it's when we put them into context with this label of I should to, or I have to, or I need to, or I can't. And then that label gets attached to stress or anxiety. And that is when the morality police win. Here's another example. You're going to love this one. I look at the influencers in the vegan and the carnivore spaces. I follow quite a few on Instagram in both spaces. And it's almost comical. I watch them go after each other. It's like, you know, grab the non-GMO popcorn and watch the show. It's crazy. But here's the thing is that, yes, they're very passionate, but there's also science on both sides. One of my trauma responses is also one of my greatest superpowers, and that is to be a diplomat. So I may or may not agree with you. I may have a different viewpoint. I may be completely attached to my viewpoint, but I am always going to respect your opinion, even if your opinion is completely different than mine. Even if I morally oppose your opinion or viewpoint, I am still going to respect you, and I'm going to respect your opinion. I live in a world where we all come to this place with our own backgrounds and cultures and belief patterns. In our own world, we are right. But just because we're right, it doesn't make everyone else wrong. Am I still talking about food? Because this year, it's an election year in the United States. And I have a gut feeling it is going to get real ugly real quick. I mean, back in the day, we respected each other, even if we checked different boxes when we voted. But somehow, overnight, it's like we live in a society where I'm right equals you're wrong. It doesn't mean I'm right equals we just have different opinions. We've lost our sense of how to treat each other as human beings, as children of God, as beautiful souls. And I'm here to tell you a hard fact is that I'm not right or wrong, or I'm right or wrong, is just as much as you're not right or wrong, or you are right or wrong. I'm here to tell you your food choices aren't right or wrong. Your exercise isn't right or wrong. Your lifestyle isn't right or wrong. That is up to you. I view my job as a health coach to provide education and to share research and science and to share what's worked for me personally, what's worked anecdotally for my students. And I'm going to share information with you, but I will never tell you that you need to do this or you need to do that. That is entirely up to you. Because I think one of the benefits of having a good coach is to empower you to be able to make those decisions for yourself. And if you're constantly looking to external sources to tell you what to do, you're going to be constantly looking to external sources to tell you what to do, and then looking to those external sources for that validation, when that validation needs to come from within. I love my facts. I love my data. I love the research. I love to come up with my own conclusions. So, for example, I recently started to eat more red meat. I eat more red meat in my diet these days. And I removed spinach from my diet. So it was kind of a complete opposite. And this is based on my own research, what I feel is best for my own body. But I'm also keeping tabs on how I feel, if I'm bloated, if I'm gaining weight. And I'm not going to be the one who's going to tell you to do the same thing. What works for me may or may not work for you. And what we do in my coaching program, we explore where you're at, where your body's at, what your body is craving, what foods are going to nourish you at this right time for you. What are the foods that are going to give you energy versus what are the foods that are going to drain your energy? You remember back in the day, like the whole low-fat craze, right? Low-fat was the best thing on the planet, and everyone was like low-fat crazy pants. And now we're looking at all of this new science and looking at these chemicals in these low-fat foods, and well, these chemicals are actually really harmful for you. And now they're saying certain fats are very beneficial for you. Or kale. Kale used to be the garnish at the Pizza Hut. We never ate kale. It was just that the fluffy green stuff at the Pizza Hut buffet. And then all of a sudden, overnight, it became a superfood and it's like super nutrient dense. We can't get enough of kale. It's in our smoothies. It's all over the place. So we make chips out of it. We do all the things. But now there's more studies coming out that kale or organic kale both have high levels of heavy metals. And also high levels of oxalic acid, not as high as spinach, but kale may or may not be the best thing since gluten-free sliced bread. So here's the thing. I used to eat a lot of kale and a lot of spinach. So now that both are out of my diet, am I going to keep them out of my diet? I don't know. What if the science changes? Maybe, maybe not. But here's the thing. Will I ever eat gluten again? No, absolutely not. Never. At least not in the United States. So here's what I think we need to remember is that we all have our own beliefs and thoughts and morality when it comes to food. Like for me, I am never going to eat gluten ever for all the reasons I just talked about. And for me, it's not just about how gluten interacts with my body, but because wheat is the heaviest sprayed with glyphosate. And being a cancer survivor, I kind of want to limit any kind of cancer-causing agents in my body. But here's the thing. I pick and I choose my battles, right? I've been there. I've done that. T-shirt. Got the T-shirt. Not a fun place to be. But good health and optimal health is not the absence of disease. and it's not a number on a scale. It doesn't mean you're healthy if you're eating a plant-based diet. And it doesn't mean you're healthy if you're eating a carnivore diet. So why are we letting the morality police dictate what good health and true health means to us personally? Here's the thing that I think the majority of us are missing when it comes to our food choices. And that is there's something that goes with this thought process that we are completely ignoring, and I think it's extremely detrimental. My right might be your wrong, your right might be my wrong, and both of our rights and both of our wrongs have actions, and those actions have consequences. And we need to be okay. We need to take ownership of those consequences from those actions. And those are the two hills that I am willing to die on. Personal responsibility is my first, and chemicals are not food is the second. Actions have consequences. If I eat a lot of food or drink that have a lot of chemicals in them, statistically, I'm going to be at a higher risk of disease. So in my world, this is a truth. So the fewer toxic things I put in my body, whether that's the food or drink or cleaners or skincare or air fresheners, and just as important, if not more, my thoughts and my beliefs, the healthier that I am, the more my body's going to protect me. So when I think about the toxic load as more than just food, again, it's the cleaners, it's the beauty products on my face, on my body, my thoughts, my beliefs, all of these things. And I'm living proof. I was a competitive athlete. I was in the best shape of my life. I weighed 110 pounds. I had a six-pack of abs. I lived on a diet of processed food and sugar. And I was a type A overachiever. I was an adrenaline junkie and living a stressed out lifestyle. And between breast cancer and autoimmune disease and debilitating chronic fatigue, I suffered for 10 years because of it. These diseases, they didn't just fall out of the sky. I didn't just happen to get sick. It wasn't my genetics. It was a toxic soup of a lot of different factors, and it's pretty much impossible to isolate. But on the flip side of that, I refuse to live in a bubble. I know what my non-negotiables are, and I know where I can play, because it's not about perfectionism. We're never going to have a quote-unquote perfect healthy lifestyle. It's about enjoying life and incorporating these sustainable healthy habits into my lifestyle to stack the cards for longevity and against disease. And that is also the philosophy that I bring to my students in my coaching program. And there's so many different experts and influencers out there, and they're telling you that their diet or their protocol is the one best way. Eat this, don't eat that. And then you scroll to the next thing, and this expert's telling you the complete opposite. And again, under most circumstances, there's science, proven science, behind both viewpoints. Whiplash. Here's something else I don't like. I do not like scare tactics. I don't like people who are pushing an agenda. And yes, I'm talking about food, but I am also talking about life in general, and especially life these days, and especially life in an election year. I am very passionate about what I believe and everything that I share with you. And I'm very passionate about it because I have my own personal experience, my own education. I've studied the science. I get anecdotal data, all of the things. I'm living my world from my own lens and my own lifestyle. But there is way too much judgment out there. None of us can live in a bubble. You are doing the best that you can with the information and the resources that you have. And I'm not a fan of other people judging others based on anything. So I'm not going to judge you if you eat gluten because of my own belief system. I am probably going to want to share my experience with you or maybe empower you with some information on the consequences of these cancer-causing chemicals because you may or may not know about it. But it is never going to be from a place of you have to do this or from a place of judgment. Because the last thing I want is for you to take on that judgment as your own. Because our own self-judgment is worse than any kind of external judgment. And I think that's one thing that most of these experts forget. And you want to know what is absolutely hilarious about this whole conversation? And I'm going to be completely honest and vulnerable with you because I'm human. And as I was preparing for this episode, and I was on Instagram, hit me up, holly.bertone, be sure to follow, say hello. And I saw this crunchy lifestyle influencer, and she was being all judgy for anyone who wasn't doing things a certain way. And then guess what happened? As I was watching her, I instantly went to, how can you be all judgy with everyone else when you have these wireless earbuds in your ears emitting EMFs to your brain? And the second I thought that, I was like, oh, Holly. The struggle is real, my friend. I am not exempt from this. We are all human coming from a human place. So I don't want you to ever feel bad. I know you're doing the best that you can with the information and the resources that you have. And I also know what it's like to hit rock bottom with my health so bad that I was forced to resign from my dream job. So the decisions that I make for my own health are reflective of that. And then I weigh the pros and cons of how this is going to impact my health versus convenience. And my health is different than your health. Can you make a commitment with me today that we are going to do our best to move beyond health as good, bad, as right, wrong, and instead look at ourselves from each other and instead look at ourselves and each other from an individualized perspective? And if you want to take this conversation to the next level, I invite you to listen to my private podcast series where you'll explore the three mindset shifts of why diet and exercise haven't worked before and what to do to ditch the gremlins that have been holding you back so you can finally start to see sustainable results. You can register for free at podcastholly.com. That's podcastholly.com. And the link is in the show notes. And be sure to hit that follow button where you listen to the Gratitude Builds Fortitude podcast, because next week you will learn the five shifts to achieve your biggest breakthrough with your health. And I'll see you there.
We have some real talk here for a minute, just between us girls. Can we have a conversation about what the end of the day looks like? I'm talking about that moment when you've crossed off all the things on your list. Okay, they're not all completed, but you're done for the day. And when I say done for the day, I mean you are done. And you sit on the couch to actually relax for a few minutes before bedtime. You know that moment of pure bliss when your bum hits the couch cushion and then you sit back in this heap of exhaustion. You pull the blanket over your legs, literally breathe for the first time all day. And it's not even 1 minute later. And it's your spouse, hey, hun, your kid, mom, or you pick up the phone to scroll on social media and then your boss sends you an email you need to respond to, or you see something that like, oh, shoot, I forgot to do something that can't wait for tomorrow. And then the dog's doing the potty dance because spouse or kid never took them for a walk, even though you asked them to. And it's that moment that you feel this resentment fill your body. And then you probably feel guilt on top of it because this is the life that you've always dreamed of. You've got a great career and a great family. So you might be wondering, why do I feel so drained? Why is my life sucking every ounce of energy out of my body? I'm here to tell you that the world is not going to crumble if you say yes to yourself, but you will eventually crumble if you don't. You deserve to take care of yourself and your health. And it begins by saying yes to you, which is probably the hardest yes that you're ever going to say. And that's why I created a very special private podcast series. It's called Your Comeback Experience. And it's specifically for you, the woman who has a track record of success in everything that you do, but you are burned out and something's still missing. And somewhere along the way, your health got pushed to the side. It's a secret podcast, meaning it's not public. You need to have an invitation to access it, and I want to invite you. So to get this free private podcast delivered right to your inbox, click on the link in the show notes or go to podcastholly.com. Super easy to remember, podcastholly.com. The link is also in the show notes.